Our scripture reading today is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is God's word.
So for those that are with us on Sunday mornings, we've been studying through the book of John, and we take a pause for that this Good Friday to look at Hebrews. And Hebrews is such an interesting book in the sense that we often like to talk about Jesus as King, Lord, Savior, Messiah. But we rarely discuss Jesus as the great high priest. And this passage for us, it points out how, through his death upon the cross, he steps into the role as the mediator for us between humanity and God. That Jesus fills that role as the great high priest for us. And so we'll look at this in just a moment, but I want to pray and ask for the Lord's help as we turn our attention to this. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us through your word now. That you would teach our hearts what it means for you to be our high priest, our mediator, our intercessor, that through you we have the opportunity for relationship, not just things to do, but a relationship with you, the living God. Lord, teach our hearts now as we look at this, as we open your word. May you speak as only you can. For your name's sake, we do pray. Amen. So I just want to start by painting a picture for us, just briefly. When we think about the Old Testament, you had this sacrificial system that was normative. A sacrificial system that was just part of our everyday life. And in the Old Testament, it's this means to cover sin, to deal with the consequences of sin. But it was this aspect that over and over and over again, you had to constantly be offering animals to God as a covering for sin. And particularly, you had this Day of Atonement that signified this idea that even the sins you didn't know about, it was an opportunity that a high priest went into the Holy of Holies in the place of the people, for the purpose of the forgiveness of sins. Someone that was a mediator to step into the gap. And if I'm honest, I think about the system of the Old Testament, and I go, that's an exhausting system. An exhausting system that I would have forever felt like, have I done enough? Have I accomplished enough? Have I offered enough? What about the things that I've forgotten about, or the things that I've missed, or the things that I've overlooked? And thankfully, as we see in Hebrews in this passage today, the sacrificial system was just an arrow pointing us to someone greater to come. And that someone is Jesus. And the sacrificial system is pointing to a mediator to come, a high priest to come, and more than that, a sacrifice to come, a greater sacrifice to come. And as we see in this passage today, that is Jesus. So our big idea, I try to summarize our passage every time with one sentence, and our big idea today is this. Jesus offers us the covenant of the cross through the ultimate sacrifice. For those that don't know biblical language very well, this idea of covenant is just this everlasting promise that God offers to us. So Jesus, through the cross, he offers us this eternal covenant, this eternal promise of salvation and eternity with him through this ultimate sacrifice of the cross. And so tonight we're going to look at three reassurances about Jesus' sacrifice. And the first one, you may say, this doesn't sound like a reassurance, but we have to keep going in the passage to understand why it's a reassurance. But three reassurances about Jesus' sacrifice. All other sacrifices are insufficient. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, and Jesus offers us the covenant of the cross. So we start in verses 11 and 12 here, understanding that all other sacrifices are insufficient. So I encourage you, Hebrews is such an interesting book, but I encourage you to go and read this book, and particularly read chapter 9. And chapter 9 paints this picture for us of this idea that the old system, the old covenant, the Old Testament sacrificial system, how it left us wanting or needing more or perpetually returning to the system for forgiveness. And then verse 11 comes here as we enter into our passage tonight, and we see, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come. And I just love that it says of the good things that have come, that we have this Good Friday service. We have this memory and response of Good Friday that he says, and when the good things have come. And I promise on Good Friday for the Jesus' disciples, it didn't feel very good. They scattered, they ran, they hid, they were terrified. But Sunday's coming. But Sunday's coming. And this reality that through the cross, Jesus brought eternally good things to us. So in Hebrews here, as the attention turns to Christ, it says, but when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have come. And it's interesting because the high priest, you see, is in the order of Melchizedek. And you see this picture, but this idea that Jesus is the high priest. And the high priest was the only one that was allowed into the Holy of Holies. The presence of God. And you get this picture here that Christ, in the work of the cross, in its life, death, and resurrection, you see this picture that he's the one that entered into the Holy of Holies for us. He's the one that entered into that gap, into that space. It says, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places. Not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. And it's interesting, he says, you had the tabernacle, you had the temple, you had this space, this physical space that you pictured for the people, that you had the high priest that entered into the Holy of Holies. No one else was allowed except the high priest. There was a separation between the presence of God and the people. There was separation between the presence of God and the people. And the high priest entered in as this mediator between the two. And the picture in this passage is that when Christ came and stepped into the role as the high priest, he entered into the Holy of Holies, not through the physical temple, but through a spiritual temple. And he didn't have to enter on an ongoing yearly basis to cover sin, but it says he entered once for all. I want us to recognize the power and the importance of that on this Good Friday. That in his death, he was entering into the presence of God on our behalf. He was stepping into that. He defeated sin, death, and Satan. That he became the true, perfect high priest. It's the connection between us and God. And it says, not by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood. And this passage, it doesn't explicitly say here that all the other sacrifices are insufficient. But what he's saying, he says, all these others, they had to keep coming back. They weren't enough eternally. But what Christ did with his own blood. See, this was the picture. The high priest would come in and sprinkle blood upon the altar. And it says, but Christ was the high priest that sprinkled his own blood upon the altar. So the cross is of great significance for us when we think about Christ as our high priest, connecting us to God himself. And through his own blood as the high priest on our behalf, thus securing an eternal redemption. Not a temporary covering, not a partial covering, not something that makes us feel better about ourselves, but an eternal reality that he has forgiven us, redeemed us, bought us back. This word redemption carries with it this idea of buying someone back. It's a picture of if someone was in slavery, buying them back from the slavery they've been in. It says, through his blood, he secured us redemption, buying us back from the slavery of sin. So there's a reason we call Good Friday good. There's a reason we remember that today, because it's the recognition that all the other sacrifices up to this point, they weren't sufficient. They weren't enough. But Christ, his sacrifice was enough. And so the second reassurance we see here in verses 13 and 14 is Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. It says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There's a lot in these two verses here. There's a lot going on. He says, but if imperfect people were going into the Holy of Holies to offer these animals that externally, that on a surface level, they were spotless. They were without defect. He said, if sinful people were going in and offering these sacrifices, he says, it's not enough. But in that, how much more? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, through the work of the Holy Spirit, offered himself without blemish. And so Christ and his offering without blemish, it just wasn't an external purity. It was an internal, a spiritual purity. It was a moral purity. So all of the animals that were sacrificed, externally they were pure, but there was no moral purity tied to that. With Christ and his sacrifice, there was external and internal purity. He was the perfect one. He was the one that was perfect when we couldn't be. So how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? So I just want to encourage you to dwell on that statement. That God himself, Christ, the incarnate deity, who stepped out of the perfection of heaven to enter into the mess for us, that he offered himself to the Father in heaven on our behalf. Good Friday is heartbreaking. And yet glorious. Good Friday is such an act of service to us by God himself, that he stepped into the gap for us. And he says, and through that, through what Jesus accomplished through the cross, through the offering of his blood, through the giving of his body, he can purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He's saying the old way, the old system, he said we could work and work and work and work and we never felt like it was enough. He says, and then Christ came and he actually offers through his blood the cleansing of not just washing away sin, but the cleansing of our conscience. That now I can say with a clear conscience, in God's eyes, I am viewed as clean. Not because of anything I have done, but because of everything Christ has done on my behalf, in my place. And And so this third and final reassurance here is in verse 15. Jesus offers us the covenant of the cross. And this is so important for us as we try to put all of this together of why the cross is so important. In verse 15, it says, therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. He's a mediator of the new covenant. So he's the one that's the run between us and the Father in heaven. He is the one that fills the gap in our place. There's a reason that in the gospel accounts it says, he says, it is finished. And it says the veil is torn from the top down. The veil to the Holy of Holies, it was this picture that now the presence of God is accessible to man, to the average, everyday man and woman in the world. And that's because he is the high priest and now the mediator between us and God, between us and the Father in heaven. It says, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. And this is the important piece as we understand this. This is where it all ties together, that this isn't just the cross and we go, good, he's washed away sin and we're good. That in and of itself is glorious. But there's a greater miracle in the cross that whoever believes in him, we've seen this throughout the book of John, whoever believes in him, believes he is who he says he is. He doesn't just take away sin. He doesn't just take away condemnation. He doesn't just take away wrath. But he actually gives us his righteousness, gives us eternity, gives us the glory of the Lord is then put into our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. So that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Why is Good Friday so good? Because Sunday's coming and he steps out of the grave alive. But we reflect on all that he accomplished in the cross here, now. It says, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So, we receive this promised eternal inheritance. How? Because a death occurred in our place. Throughout the old system, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the old covenant, that's what had to happen. An animal died in our place, took the consequence and the punishment in our place. And he says, and Christ took that punishment in our place. And that death redeems us, buys us back from slavery to sin. That's why we say we're free in Christ, because he paid it all. They owe to him, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. And so he says, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So this redemption, it frees us from the guilt of the law. The law, it was meant to be a tutor pointing us to this idea that I can't do it. I can't keep it. I can't keep all the rules. I can't jump through all the hoops. I can't be perfect enough. And Christ was perfect in our place. And so I hope that we have this reminder tonight that Christ was perfect in our place. The cross is heartbreaking. Because it's my sin and your sin that put him there. But the cross is glorious because he loved us enough to willingly go on our behalf. To willingly go on our behalf. So Christians, remind your heart of this tonight. Remind your heart of the beauty of this. May we respond in joy and praise and thanksgiving, even in a somber remembrance of tonight, that this is somber celebration. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, my encouragement to you would be, see that Jesus is the one that offers us hope, forgiveness, eternity. If you'd like to hear more about what it means to follow Jesus, to become a Christian, please talk with me as soon as this service is over. But as we consider this, I always try to do a few application questions for us just to consider. It's in your bulletin. Three application questions for you just to consider as we close. How does this passage remind you that you can never do enough to earn your way to God? If you walk away from this and you say, I just got to do better, you've missed the message. This is a reminder that we can never do enough. The second question, how does Jesus' ultimate sacrifice provide you the opportunity to have a relationship with God? That's the message of the cross. That's the covenant of the cross. That's the promise of the cross. That now, through Jesus' finished work, he invites us into the very presence of God. In relationship through all Jesus has accomplished. Third question, how does your heart respond to Jesus' covenant of the cross? Is your response one of thankfulness, worship, and celebration? And though we enter in a somber way, I hope we leave with joy in our hearts, with celebration in the fact that we're saying, we're on this side of the cross, we're on this side of the resurrection, we know Easter's coming. We celebrate that, we remember that now. And so I want to pray for us, and then we have a chance to respond in singing together. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you offer us an eternal covenant of salvation through your cross. Thank you for being our mediator and our high priest, and for stepping into the gap. Teach our hearts of your glory and your goodness. Remind our hearts of your work in our midst. Help us to respond not just now, but eternally in thanksgiving and praise for who you are and all you've done. We thank you. We praise you. Amen.